Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Richard, today we're going to talk about treatments for autism. So yesterday we talked about how autism is a neurodevelopmental condition, probably present at birth, but certainly is identified by about the second or third year of life. Mm-hmm. And we talked about the great variability that we see in, mm-hmm. in individuals with autism, from those who are nonverbal and relatively dependent completely on caregivers, mm-hmm. to those who function relatively well, and they are able to go to college and successfully live independently and those kinds mm-hmm. of things.
That's right, and hence the name spectrum.
Right, okay. Right, because in the DSM-5 that came out in 2013 mm-hmm. changed the name from, well, the original name was pervasive developmental right. disorder. That was the broad category, and then we had autism underneath it.
Yeah, there were five categories,
right.
five underneath. Disorders under pervasive developmental disorder.
Right, mm-hmm. and so when the DSM-5 came out in 2013, that changed to autism spectrum disorder.
Right, they collapsed all of it into... Mm-hmm. Several of those diagnoses were difficult to make.
Right.
Rett's disorder right. only appeared in girls and right. a very, very small number of girls. And so in DSM-5, they simply collapsed them mm-hmm. and said, let's put them on a spectrum.
Right, and that's mm-hmm. why we don't have Asperger's disorder anymore.
And that's become a confusing issue because... Mm-hmm. Those of us who grew up with DSM-3 and 4 always differentiated Asperger's from autism.
Right.
I mean, it's just the language that we used, mm-hmm. right? And so now they're on the same spectrum, mm-hmm. and it's led to a little bit of confusion. People still say, "Well, it really right. is Asperger's, not autism."
Right.
You know,
and a lot of insurance companies, you were previously diagnosed with Asperger's, they, because of that confusion, they sort of grandfathered in that right. diagnosis for ongoing treatment. So
right.
it's pretty,
right.
pretty interesting.
And people were concerned about that
right.
when DSM-5, when the field, when it was first published, parents were concerned about that, mm-hmm. that their children might not qualify
right.
anymore.
Right. So when we think about treatment, I think the first thing that's important to mention is that there's no cure.
There's no cure.
For mm-hmm. autism. Tomorrow we're going to talk about, or for tomorrow's show, we're going to talk about alternative treatments,
right.
and we're going to mention a few things in there that where people think they have found some cures,
right.
But we're going to address those very specifically. But today we're going to talk about general treatments because, again, since there's not a cure, what we really have to focus on is treating some of the behaviors that are problematic or causing some issues for the child and the family.
That's right. As with many other disorders, there is no cure for the disorder, mm-hmm. and so you treat the symptoms,
right.
the associated characteristics right. of the disorder.
Right? Right.
And that's what we're really going to talk about today is
right.
what do we do about these other characteristics that are of concern?
Right. Mm-hmm. And so to start with some of the less preferred treatments?
Oh, okay. I was thinking you were going to talk about characteristics because there are some abilities that we want children to develop and
right.
there are some that we want them to... It would be like the
right.
positive and
that's
negative
true.
Symptoms would be another way to approach it.
When it just so happens that that's the way in which some of the preferred treatments and the less preferred treatments are differentiated.
Right.
Because some of the less preferred treatments include medication.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, we dislike the idea of giving kids medications, especially some of the medications that are used
right.
for some of the agitation and
right.
irritability mm-hmm. and just sometimes aggressiveness that
right.
we see in children with,
right.
with autism spectrum disorders. And so many times medications are used to manage those symptoms, and the medications are, you know, oftentimes mood stabilizers,
right.
sometimes even antipsychotics. I mean, medications like Abilify mm-hmm. and Risperdal are both antipsychotics,
right.
atypical antipsychotics. So they're newer, but, you know, they're FDA approved for the treatment of agitation and irritability
right.
in children with autism.
That's right.
And you know, I think Risperdal, I'm not sure if Abilify has yet, but I think Risperdal even has a liquid form for those who are kids or who are too young to be able to swallow pills. Mm-hmm. They have a liquid form, and certainly for older kids who can't swallow pills yet either. But so it's, you know, I've seen those medications used in very young children who have that agitation and irritability associated with autism.
But they're used for mood stabilizing properties, not for autism.
Right.
And that's what we have to remember. So there's no medication for autism.
Right.
Just like there's no medication for reading disabilities.
Right.
But the medication is used for the associated symptoms.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. To improve attention and all that kind of stuff. So, right. So when it comes to medications, yes, you will see medications used for that mood stabilizing that's effect. Right. Mm-hmm. Sometimes as the child gets older, you'll see other medications used, but that's when, like for depression and anxiety, because oftentimes you have OCD-like symptoms that that are associated with autism spectrum disorder. Sometimes for those who are bright, those who have good communication skills, they begin to develop an awareness of the difference between and their own limitations and the differences between themselves and others, and that it can develop into some depressive symptoms or some anxiety symptoms. Oftentimes you'll see medications used at that time, including like the SSRIs and antidepressants and anti-anxiety medications then. So medications used, but again, it's for the associated features, not for
not for the
autism
itself.
Probably the most preferred. Well, you know what? Let's early on.
The first one.
The very first treatment that children tend to get when they have autism spectrum disorders is speech therapy.
Right.
Speech and language therapy. Mm-hmm. So when you have a 2-year-old who's not yet communicating or who seems to be losing communication skills, the first place we send them is to a speech therapist.
That's right. And so you want to do an assessment to do an evaluation of what abilities they do possess and which we should be working on.
Right.
Both in the facility with the specialist, but also at home, because the more therapy you do, the more results you can expect.
Right. And early on, during the first 3 years or so of life, that treatment is provided at the home.
That's right.
It's through Part C of the Individuals with Disability Education Act.
Right.
And so those services are usually provided in the home. The parents are very involved in that.
Right.
Now, once the child turns 3, however, it shifts and it becomes part of Part B, which is housed underneath the public system.
Right.
And so that's where you have to contact, you know, if your child is 3 years old, and you have some concerns with this, you need to contact Child Find through your local public school system, and they'll do an evaluation.
That's right.
And if the child meets criteria or has a deficit or limitation, they'll be able to provide services at the local public school.
That's right. So prior to age 3, it's usually center-based and home services. After age 3, it's school-based and home services.
Right.
So the primary provider shifts at about age 3.
Right.
And it's important for parents to know that and to access those services because they're going to be delivered through the school. Some parents do have access to private sessions, but if you don't, they will be provided through the school system.
Right, and they're provided
at no cost to parents.
You know, if you have insurance, they'll run it through the insurance, but anything else that's not covered by insurance will be covered by the individuals. Man, I can't say individuals. Individuals with Disability Education Act.
Right.
So,
and it's important to begin those therapies as soon as possible. One of the things, regardless of the therapy we talk about, and we're going to talk about several non-medical interventions, regardless of which one we're talking about, the earlier the therapy begins, the better the results are going to be. And that's one, don't wait.
Right.
I mean, as soon as you become suspicious, you have to start accessing those services, because the sooner they start, the better the result.
Right. Now, before we get to the one that's really the primary one that we really think about, another treatment modality really is parent training.
Right.
Because parents really need to separate from the child, really need to learn the skills and perspectives and understanding that's necessary for having it when you have a child with autism.
Right. In our field, we call it psychoeducation.
Right.
Learning about the disorder. We do a lot of work with children who have impulsive aggression and what used to be called early onset or pediatric bipolar disorder. And the important thing is that parents and siblings understand the disorder.
Yeah.
Okay, so we encourage parents to learn as much as they can about the disorder, because you're going to have, there'll be a lot of questions, and you're going to be bombarded with information, and you have to be able to sort out reliable information from unreliable information.
Right. And you will find lots of information online from different sources, as well as, you know, different support agencies like the Center for Autism and Related Disabilities and others offer great information for parents and resources for parents. So now the probably the gold standard, I guess, is that fair to say?
It has become that.
For treatment of children with autism is applied behavior analysis.
ABA, right.
Yeah. And so what, and in fact, in some places, you know, children can receive up to, well, I've heard up to 40 hours of ABA services a week.
Right. It has, it is the approved treatment, the gold standard, certainly, for children with autism, right,
right.
is ABA.
Yeah.
Right.
And if you've seen the show, the television program Parenthood,
right.
There's a child in that show who was presenting with autism, and they had a applied behavior analyst who, and these individuals come to the home, regardless of the age of the child, will come to the home, work with the child, work to shape and adjust and modify behaviors. Oftentimes they'll provide some strategies and support for the parents as well.
Right.
But, you know, the focus really is to understand the behavior and help shape the child's behavior
through
the use of... basically behavioral techniques to you know, shape what the child is doing.
That's right. Standard behavioral approaches that were first popularized, at least, if not created, by B.F. Skinner.
Right.
But a very strict behavioral program based on reward and punish. But remember, reward and punish the behavior, not the child.
Right.
So you do whatever you need to do to... Earlier in this program, we talked about wanting to get rid of the negative characteristics such as temper tantrums, and to develop the positive characteristics such as enhanced speech and language.
Right.
And so we use behavioral techniques to reward the positives and to discourage the negatives.
Right.
So it's a very it's been shown to be a very effective treatment for children with autism.
Right.
Again, used as early as possible.
Yeah. And it's pretty... Much of it is pretty intuitive.
Right.
I know that, like, for example, just as a quick example, some of the things that we have worked with some of the families that we see who have children with autism is sometimes kids who are very verbal with autism, they don't and because they don't read the social cues, they don't really understand that the person that they're talking to is not interested in a encyclopedic detail of Pokemon.
Right.
And so they don't see the person kind of looking around and, you know, rolling their eyes or anything like that.
Trying to disengage.
Right. Yeah. The child doesn't recognize that, so the child just keeps going and going and going. But the other person doesn't want to be rude because they have social skills, and so they don't want to be rude. And so we teach parents and kids to associate various concrete cues so that they'll stop. So it may be that if the parent is there... If the child is going too far, we'll just have the parent kind of hold one hand up or, you know, point their finger, wag their finger or something. And the kid then associates that with, you're talking too much or you need to, you need to stop and ask the person if you want them, if they want you to continue or if there's something else they want to talk about. Or you associate that cue with another behavior that they need to do. And it tends to work very well. But of course, you know, that is a very restricted example because it can only work when the parent's there.
Right.
And so you have to teach different skills for different types of scenarios. And so that's why it's often approved for so many hours a week, because it really...
It takes a long time.
You really have to think about different
things.
It
doesn't always work. I mean, but the other thing you have to remember is it is the gold standard. It's what you're probably going to rely on.
Right.
But it works... It works to a different degree with each child.
Right, right. So sometimes individual psychotherapy works. Again, it kind of depends on the age and the intellectual skills we talked about
language
before,
abilities,
the language skills of the child. But ABA really is the primary one. So. All right.
Yep.
Tomorrow we're going to talk about those alternative treatments.
Right.
So that'll be a fun conversation. So come back tomorrow for a little bit more. All right.
In the meantime,
Stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.